Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont, the only one at large in office since 2007. First of all, Peter, as always, thanks for showing up. We always love it when you do.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, now let's talk about the Gorsuch Supreme Court nomination. You know, there are many people who think that he's in like Flynn. He's going to be there. He's going to make it, take the place of Scalia. What do you think the Democrats should be doing now? Should they be filibustering? Should they just let him in and say, you know, after all, I'm sorry for going on this long, Peter, but after all, they robbed Obama of a perfectly legitimate Supreme Court vote on up or down, which they never did. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I think the Democrats should use all the tools at their discretion to fight this. You know, we've got a situation here where the context has really been poisoned. And when you get into that discussion, a lot of times people point to both sides. But, you know, it is true that when President Obama had more than a year to go on his term, he appointed somebody that was widely regarded as a centrist, not a liberal that was going to get jammed down the throat of the Senate, but somebody who was cautious, careful, believed in the rule of law, and regarded by virtually all legal scholars as an ideal selection as a moderate person to serve on the court. And Mitch McConnell said, no, we won't even take that up. Now, that's a bitter feeling, and it was wrong of McConnell to do that. Now, fast forward, you've got President Trump saying that he was going to, before he even named Gorsuch, he had a list of nine super conservative people, very ideologically polarized, passed the purity test by all the very right-wing groups. Gorsuch was on that list, and now the Democrats are supposed to gleefully accept that ideological pick by the president. I don't think that's right. I think the importance of this is, and this is the challenge for the Democrats, is to lay out what's behind the judicial philosophy of the of President Trump. And his philosophy is he's been very explicit about it. He wants to get rid of abortion. And overturn Roe v. Wade. In his budget, in his health care bill, he's defunded Planned Parenthood. He is against any kind of deference to the regulatory responsibilities of our agencies like EPA when it comes to clean water. So there's a very explicit expression by President Trump that he wants an ideological conservative as opposed to somebody who's going to moderate and bring us together. So that those things are what has to be pointed out in the Democratic process of having hearings and the debate on the floor.
So let me ask you a question. Do you have any sociological, religious tendencies at all? Do you believe that there's something greater than we are?
Well, I definitely know that there's a lot greater than we are.
The reason I ask you that question, Peter, is assuming that there is a St. Peter, for example, and Mitch McConnell comes before St. Peter, and St. Peter has to make a decision based on McConnell's behavior of whether McConnell goes up or down. What do you think St. Peter might say?
Well, you know, we don't have St. Peter to guide us, but I'll tell you this. I think that Mitch McConnell, his career, I think, is going to be simple to analyze, and it'll be in his own words. He defined his job as majority leader when President Obama was in his first term to make certain that the president was a one-term president. And that was when the Republicans embraced a fight for failure. And, you know, that's wrong. When we are in competition, it's in the elections, and we can have a fair and square fight about who wins. But once we win, and it's some Republicans and it's some Democrats, then there's a duty that all of us have to make an effort at cooperation for the benefit of the country. And what Mitch McConnell, in his own words, said quite explicitly is that he was going to fight for the failure of the president and for the success of his party. I don't respect that.
So the question would then be, Peter Welch, should the Democrats, to get even, emulate the absolute no that McConnell demonstrated when Democrats were in power?
No, that's not the approach.
No, they shouldn't.
We've got, no, absolutely not. I mean, we're in this to do things to do things to get things done. But here's my view, because people are asking me about this. Number one, if President Trump proposes discriminatory actions that violate civil rights and civil liberties, like a Muslim ban, like attacking Hispanics, we've got to be implacable and inflexible in our opposition of those policies and in our defense of the Constitution. There's no compromise on constitutional rights any place, anytime, anywhere. When President Trump is proposing policies that aggravate the income inequality, we've got to fight those on their merits. And number three, if there are things that he is proposing that we agree with and are good for the American people, prescription drug price negotiation comes to mind, then I'll be at the table and I'll work with him. But we've got to do things what I would call the Vermont way. You know, we had some town meetings in Vermont, and people are really, really upset about many of these things that Trump is doing, the wall, the Muslim ban, repealing health care. But our approach in Vermont is to fight hard for the things we believe in, protect the rights of all citizens. But it's also to listen to people that we disagree with. And, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of people who voted for President Trump that I think are good people. A lot of Vermonters did, and they've been on the losing end of the economic equation here. So even while I'm going to be fighting the wall, I'm going to be fighting the Muslim ban, I'm going to be fighting his repeal of the health care bill, I'm going to be doing all I can to listen to the legitimate concerns of folks who voted for Trump, because I think they've got to get a fair shake in this economy, and I think Democrats have to do more to listen to them and to have policies that are helpful to them.
I always love talking to you, but we only have two more minutes, so I want to ask you real quickly. It caught my eye. It's not at the top of the list, but I think it may be important, and that is your bill with Senator Markey of Massachusetts on drone privacy oversight. What's that about?
Well, there's an explosion, the use of drones. And they have.
I have a relative who has one.
Yeah, and they have very good purposes for military use and policing. They're used along the border. They're used in emergencies, and they can be extremely helpful in getting information. But there's also a risk that some corporations may be using them in ways to try to gather information about you or me or other people for their own purposes. And I oppose that. I want to protect the privacy rights of all of our citizens. So our bill would essentially have as its goal privacy protection of American citizens, and it would require drone users, say it was Amazon or some other big company, to file a report, make sure we knew what the privacy policy was, and make certain that the privacy rights of Americans were protected.
But how do you do that with everybody? There are now going to be millions of these things. I knew a kid when I'm 75 now, but when I was 12, who used to sit up on top of his big old house on Fire Island with a telescope and look at everybody.
Well, these are about drone licenses. These are about drone licenses.
Yes.
So if you're a company and you're going to apply for a license, which we're now getting into, then the license application has to include data collection statements. It has to talk about where the drone's going to be flown, what kind of data will be collected, how it will be used. So you're getting a routine here that's almost like a DMV that applies for someone or a company that's going to be getting a license to use the drone.
But not for somebody who is going to fly the drone over an open shower, if you're getting my drift.
I'm not quite sure I'm following you.
Well, this kid used to take his telescope and look at people taking showers. Drones could do that, too. So you're after the businesses. But what about regular human beings who are up to no good?
Well, that's called Peeping Tom, and we've got legislation that prohibits that.
Outlaws that. Well, I love talking to Peter Welch. And, of course, I think when he gets off the air, he's going to look at his deputy and he's going to say, or his assistant, that guy's crazy. He asked me all those crazy questions.
I don't have to wait to get off the air to say that. You're great, Alan.
It's great to talk to Peter Welch. Thank you, Peter. I can't wait for the next time we have these conversations.
Thank you, Alan.